No Bones, das waren Elfie von ihrem Debütalbum If You're Happy With You Need Do Nothing, welches vor einigen Wochen erschienen ist. Elfie ist eine fünfköpfige Band aus Manchester, bestehend aus Lee Gordon am Gesang, Ian Smith Gitarre, Matt McGeever am Cello, Sam Morris am Bass und Sean Kelly am Schlagzeug. Ich habe Lee und Sam vor einigen Tagen in Hamburg getroffen und ja, die erste Frage war, wie es denn in Manchester ist, dieser Stadt, wo so viele berühmte Bands herkommen, überhaupt bekannt zu werden, überhaupt bekannt werden kann.
You know, Manchester is a much smaller place than you can realize. I mean, it's got a big name for itself, but as soon as anyone does anything like that's kind of good, everyone, you know, knows. You can't keep secrets and that in town. So just did a couple of gigs and from that it was soon a buzz around town, and then before you knew it, anyone that was involved in bands, you know, like Damon had come down to see us, and we know all the Elbow lot and I Am Clue, and we all ended up doing little gigs together and things. I mean, like a couple of years ago, it's dead nice now to see how Damon's doing and how like the Doves and our Elbow have now turned into a proper band all of a sudden, and it's great because we've seen them all grow up like they have us.
Ja, trotz dessen ist eine große Stadt, ist doch eine kleine Szene irgendwie. Damon Gorg von Badly Drawn Boy hat sie auch sehr unterstützt. Sie haben auch in seiner Band gespielt, in seiner Tourenband. Und ja, wenn Alfie selbst live spielen, sind teilweise 7 bis 8 Leute auf der Bühne. Da werden Kuhglocken irgendwie geschwungen und Cello gespielt und Instrumente gewechselt und zwischendurch viel Konversation mit dem Publikum betrieben.
From the live point of view, you know, this kind of a often, we've got better at it recently, but there's often like quite a gap between songs, you know, because someone's passing the acoustic guitar over there and then he's taking over on the bass while he goes to play French horn, you know. So, and while that's going on, I'll generally have a little chat with the crowd and things, you know, and just sort of tone everything down, you know. We never sort of go for that big ego thing live. I want it to be like everyone's just coming around to our house and watching us play in our lounge, you know. And so you can sort of break down the gap between the band and the audience by just having a little chat, and they see how disorganized we are, and I think feel more at ease anyway, you know. It's quite intimidating sometimes when you come across a big band who are dead professional with a big light show and big egos as well, you know. And but some people want that, some people want to look up to other people, and you know, sometimes it's better not to. I think
a bit more interesting to see sometimes, I think, you know, if you go to a gig where you can actually see the relationships between the members and, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah, we're very honest about our mistakes, you know. I don't like, none of us like things too polished, do you know. I think it gets boring when it all gets dead professional, doesn't it? And hopefully we won't do that. I don't think we're capable of getting dead professional, really.
Ja, richtige Profis wollen sie also zumindest live nicht werden, und auch die Interaktion mit dem Publikum wird gesucht. Wie ist es denn, wenn Alfie jetzt im Support, als Support spielen von größeren Bands, wie zum Beispiel Elbow oder auch auf dem NME Festival in London, gibt es da nicht Probleme, dass das Publikum sie als Vorgruppe eigentlich gar nicht sehen will?
You can't go on there expecting them to know you are, and you can't go on there expecting them to like you. But we've been pretty lucky with the supporters that we've got. Embrace's crowd, who we've done, were just up for anything. They were just daft, you know, and they loved us. And the NME crowd, on the same tour we had Amen and JJ72, and so it was kind of split that way around. But we dealt with them pretty well, you know. Some people would, you know, there was kids in the front row in Slipknot t-shirts and Disturbed t-shirts and all that, and they were never going to quite, we were never going to win them over. But some of them did, you know. We're just dead honest with it, and people sort of realise there's no pretension there, and whether they're not quite into the music or whatever, I think they realise that we were all right. And after some of the NME gigs, there was like 15-year-old girls coming up to us with Amen t-shirts and going, you guys were great, you know. And it was like, wow, then we really have done something right if we can get through to you.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I don't worry about, you know, people not knowing us. With all the gigs we've ever done until like the last 2 months, nobody's known us, so we're pretty used to that.
Ja, eine Crowd, die also die Vorgruppe gar nicht sehen will, ist kein Problem für Elfie, denn irgendwie überzeugen sie garantiert immer. Bei der Musik kein Problem, denke ich. Wir hören noch einen Song von der Band Check the Weight.
I can never Lift off the weight from your shoulders, striking.
Check the Weight von Alfie. Der NME hat ja vor einiger Zeit dieses neue Label, The New Acoustic Movement, kreiert, wo Bands wie Kings of Convenience, I Am Clued und andere reingesteckt worden sind. Und auch Alfie gehören mehr oder weniger dazu. Wenn es nach dem NME geht, hat die Band ein Problem damit.
I've just realized really is that they don't, the key thing about how bad it is they haven't actually defined what it means, and so they can just, which is, I mean, how can you say create a scene where you don't even define the boundaries of it and what, and all the bands are totally different that they include in it, really. I mean, there's some similarities.
So
the reason why we can all happen all together is because we're different, not because we're the same. So I don't know why they bother.
You've got to prepare yourselves for things like this, though, and, you know, it's inevitable. The NME always do it. I would just wish it had a better title. It's crap, you know what I mean?
Nam.
But, and it's got, I mean, trying to be positive about it, the one thing that it could do in your favour is if someone goes out and buys a Kings of Convenience record or a Turin Breaks record and they like it, then they might go and buy you a record or a Badly Drawn By record, and that's the one good thing. But it potentially sets up an unhealthy rivalry between them bands that wasn't there in the past. You know, I get on well with most of the, fortunately we're in good company. Elbow are dead good, the Kings are dead good, the Clue are good, Badly Drawn By is good, Star Sailor are good, you know, and we know all them,
and we get on well.
So in that sense, I suppose it is a scene, but they didn't know that. They didn't know we knew each other, you know, they were blagging it. But, you know, and none of us have feel any threat from each other or any competition. I mean, we're all just dead proud that each other is doing well. But from the public's point of view, it potentially sets up a situation where they start saying, well, who's the best in the new acoustic movement then? And, you know, they're better than them, so we won't like them. And no one's asking for that. Everybody has got to be judged on their own merits and theirs alone. You can't start comparing them to anyone else. And it kind of, you know, it threatens to do that, doesn't it? But, again, you've got to be realistic. And if you've read The NME, like everyone has, you know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
So I just wish they'd have been more imaginative with the title, really.
Also Vor- und Nachteile sehen die beiden. Zum einen, dass natürlich dann vielleicht doch ein paar mehr Platten verkauft werden, wenn man dort zugehört zu dieser Szene New Acoustic Movement. Zum anderen haben sie aber allerdings Angst davor, dass irgendwie dort so Konkurrenz entsteht. Und naja, was ist jetzt eigentlich genau dieses New Acoustic Movement? Was, wie wird das Ganze definiert?
What it means, I mean, apart from anything else, they're covering fewer, seem to be covering fewer guitar bands anyway, NME. So they're kind of, it's almost like they're picking the best of the not quite famous mainstream, you know, non-mainstream guitar bands and grouping them all together conveniently so that they can put it in their guitar band file and give it a name that they can bandy around everywhere.
So, jetzt wissen wir also, warum der NME das Ganze gemacht hat. Wie gesagt, die Band Alfie kommt aus Manchester, was ja Anfang der 90er sehr groß im Kurs lag, musikalisch gesehen, mit Bands wie den Stone Roses, Spiral Carpets, Charlatans, Happy Mondays etc. Es ist nicht schwer, in so einer Stadt mit Musik irgendwie anzufangen, wo so eine große Vergangenheit herrscht. Ist sie nicht irgendwie so ein bisschen erdrückend auch?
I'm really proud of Manchester, you know, then. And now, do you know, I think it's got this weird thing of having 5 years off or having 10 years off and then coming back with a whole, I dread to use the word, but scene, do you know. But I think with the fact that everybody's got so much respect for it anyway, and it's one of the only places outside of London that A&R people will travel to from a business point of view, do you know. But as soon as there's a buzz around, everyone comes back because everybody wants it to happen there. And there's enough people around with enough, just, you know, we've got a whole music college there. Everybody, there's so many good little venues, there's so many good musical things that going on in the city that everybody wants to carry it on, you know. So I think it's probably easier than more of the problem. So long as you don't get weighed down with, you know, the history of it, if you can't think, all right, we've got to be the next band out of Manchester that sounds like that or whatever. I think it's a healthier environment to create music in, especially at the minute when we're surrounded by so many creative people, and that's just, you know, it's got to be good, really. It can be bad if all the new bands try and mimic the bands that have already come out of that scene, you know. All the bands that come out of Manchester that tried to be like Oasis or tried to be like the Roses, apart from Oasis, have failed. You know, if you're going to be a lesser version of anyone, you won't make it. You know, you might get your couple of years in the limelight on the back of someone else.
But if you try and be a better version, you know, then, or even if you are a better version, people are going to, like you say, you know, probably might get
ripping them off
a small amount of fame. But,
So, you know, but I think if you're good enough, then hopefully people will see you in for your merits anyway, especially if you're not trying to do what's already been done. And I don't think, I think most of the bands that are coming out of the Manchester minute, you wouldn't even know, you wouldn't have a clue. Elbow from round there, or Badly Drawn Boy, I don't think. I think if anyone has got a slight thread, it's probably us, but not to any massive degree.
Sort of linked to the past, you mean?
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think anyone would say we're an obvious next step from what's gone on before.
That sort of thing is more to do with the sort of attitude of the people, sort of the gig-going public, do you know what I mean? Rather, because it depends what they're prepared to take. If they're happy with having three famous bands from that city, you know, they might just not be interested in the other bands, but you've got to try and make it happen.
But Manchester's already molded itself so many times, you know, from Joy Division and the Smiths, and then you get the Mondays and the Roses, then you get Oasis, and you know, it can continually recreate itself all the time, so I don't think there's any pressure there.
Also Manchester, alles kein Problem, solange man nicht versucht, irgendwie Sachen zu kopieren wie Oasis oder Stone Roses, und die Szene dort ist sehr kreativ, so dass man irgendwie nicht erdrückt wird von dieser ganzen Historie, die auf dieser Stadt liegt. Noch ein Song von Elfie, It's Just About the Weather. Thank you. Das waren Elfie mit dem Song It's Just About the Weather. Wie sieht bei der Band der Songwriting-Prozess aus?
All five of us have input into writing songs and sometimes, like, me, Ian and Matt are all perfectly capable of writing fully formed songs on our own, in our bedrooms, you know, and we'll write it on 90% of one anyway. And, you know, if that's the case, then sometimes they'll get the melodies and the lyrics. Sometimes they'll come to me with a song and say, oh, I'm a bit stuck on this one, and so I sort of help them out with theirs, and sometimes we do them together. We don't call them anyone's tracks. With whatever input anyone has into the song, we're very aware that we're a five-piece band, and none of the songs would exist without each other. So when it comes down to boring publishing stuff, it's all going five ways, and there's no, you know, nobody's claiming any song with a five-man writing machine sort of thing, and it's all very even.
Ja, alles ganz demokratisch bei den fünf Leute, fünf Songwriter mehr oder weniger, und das ist dann irgendwie alles auch ganz entspannt bei denen. Wenn man sich das Album anhört, If You're Happy With You Need Do Nothing, dann hört sich das an wie so ein gutes Mixtape aus den 90er Jahren. Da klingen also Songs ein bisschen nach Flaming Lips, mal den frühen Verve, dann wie Moose oder Honey Smugglers oder auch mal wie eine Oasis B-Seite, zum Beispiel jetzt eben gehörte It's Just About the Weather, und ja, das wissen die Jungs irgendwie auch.
That was always, that we knew.
That's about as near to the Manchester thing that we'll probably ever get. But them sort of songs really help you. It helps people who don't know so much about the intricacies of music and songwriting. If you've got a couple of them, it really helps them get the album, and then hopefully you'll turn them onto new sounds. Yeah. Through the, you know, if they go and buy it on the strength of a song like that, and then they'll end up liking the rest of it, hopefully, then you know, you kind of turn them onto something new, and then if they like Umlaut and then they listen to what we're saying, then they'll go and buy a Flaming Lips album, and they'll have never done that before, you know. And then if they like some of the finger picking tunes, then they might go and buy a Jim O'Rourke album or a Nick Drake album and stuff. And I really like the fact that sometimes people hear us and they just hear an Oasis B-side type song, you know, but we know that there's layers and layers going on, and people can get it on different levels. And I think it's good to know that, to feel, I mean, I still think we're a young band and I'm not bigging us up, I think we've got a long way to go, but I think it's nice to be able to drag people in because of a nice melody, and then hopefully if they listen to the album enough times to, you know, to, I don't want to say like teach them things about music, but do you know what I mean? To turn someone on to something that they wouldn't normally get to listen to. One of the problems with people and music is that they don't get introduced to it enough. Do you know, there's only, if you don't look for the brilliant records, I mean, I don't know how you found about the Honey Suckles or Smugglers or Moose and that, but you have to try hard to find out about bands like that, you know. And it's not quality that puts you to the front. It's popularity or how big your record company is, or how
it's easy to play, you know, play into the public's hands, and you know, any band could probably release a pop song if they wanted to. I mean, but it's, and the public are going to know about the ones that do, but it's the bands that don't which kind of push music forward. And
tja, also der Song, der so ein bisschen nach Oasis klingt, das ist also irgendwie schon okay, auch um so ein bisschen Aufmerksamkeit zu erregen und auch irgendwie so, naja, das Einzige, was man sich dann an Manchester, sag ich mal, rantraut oder über sich ergehen lässt, die Vergangenheit. Und irgendwie, wenn man das Album öfters hört, ist irgendwie doch so ein roter Faden, der irgendwie so organisch gewachsen scheint. Und das ist dann doch wiederum verwunderlich, weil das Ganze nämlich eine Compilation von drei vorausgegangenen EPs ist.
Do you know that the album kind of only come together by accident? It was like released individually as three EPs.
Yeah,
good. Because the first time we went into a studio for the first EP, I mean, we can tell now which songs were out on the first EP because we learned there was a few months before we went back in again. But by the stuff we learned in between going in the studio, and the way Joel, the producer, learned as well, and we know what we were thinking when we did the second EP and the third EP, and there's two new tracks on it. But hopefully people can't tell that much, you know. I think now it's come together as a whole, especially now it's coming out in other places, in foreign countries where the EPs haven't even been out. Hopefully it'll come across just as an album, you know. People don't I'm fine with everyone knowing its history and stuff. Hopefully people will take it on board as, you know, as, well, we don't really consider it our first album properly, do you know? It's kind of like a story so far of where we got up to. It was made in on the tiniest budget you could imagine in the most romantic circumstances ever, you know.
I think the problem was we had to be a little bit precious about the songs because we'd all worked like pretty hard to do those, to write them and record them, and we felt a bit like it would have been a bit of a waste if they hadn't have gone out on a slightly more mainstream format, CD, you know, basically.
People were starting to pay, like, because we did the first EP and made like 1,000 copies of it, and then after that, you know, put the second EP out, still quite quietly, like 1,500 copies, but after that we went and did like the Embrace tour and played to, I don't know, 10,000 people, and then we went and did the NME tour and played to loads of people, 10,000 people again maybe, and we got a bit of radio here and there, and people started picking up on us on a different level, you know, beyond the indie label vinyl collector thing, and so people started paying like up to 50 quid on the internet for the first EP, and it's not fair, do you know, it's very flattering, but it's not worth 50 quid, do you know what I mean? Not to anyone.
And I think we should re-release it and charge 50 quid a piece. Yeah. At least we get the money that way.
So, you know, we thought it was valid that people had, you know, started, that people wanted it as an album, they wanted to get hold of these songs, and loads of people knew us now who didn't have record players anyway, do you know? So, it's got a point. And if we hadn't put this out as an album, we wouldn't be here.
Also alle drei EPs natürlich längst vergriffen als 7-Inch, deshalb also nochmal das Ganze jetzt als Compilation und als Album, was eigentlich kein richtiges Album ist, aber irgendwie dann doch so zu haben ist. If You're Happy With You Need Do Nothing. Und mein Gott, wenn das nicht gewesen wäre, wären sie auch gar nicht auf Promotour gekommen und das Interview wäre nicht zustande gekommen, wie schon gesagt gerade. Das sind also Lee Gordon und Sam Morris von der Band Elfie, sehr sympathische Jungs. Und wenn die mal auf Tour kommen, unbedingt hingehen, denke ich mir mal. Noch ein Song von der Band, welcher so ein bisschen an die Flaming Lips erinnert. Umlaut heißt der.